Good morning. I'm going to introduce myself just a little bit. As Pastor Epp said, I'm Frank Italiano, and I had the privilege of being his pastor growing up. I remember, been quite a few years now, when he was in school to be a pastor, we got together sometimes during the summer and everything to look at Hebrew and Greek, the original languages of the Bible, and it's been just a pleasure to see what God has been doing through him here. About 8 years ago, I think it was, we figured out, 8 years or so, some people from up in Crete, Illinois, where I'm at, came down and did a mission trip to help out here, and it was when there was nothing of this. It was at the storefront. And what an amazing thing God has been doing here among you and through you. And I just want to thank and praise God for that, because it is truly amazing. So, Easter was last Sunday. Easter, right? Easter's the day. The most important day in all of history. The day that, I guess you could even say, redefines what it means to be human. Easter's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That absolute assurance that our sins are forgiven and that our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. We have eternal life waiting for us. That is what we celebrate and why we celebrate Easter. But that was a week ago. What about today? If you're anything like me, you know every day we're not in heaven. There's pain, there's cancer, there's sorrow, there's broken relationships, there's disappointment. This is not heaven. So what about now? Well, that's really what this sermon series we're starting today, the living hope of Easter. And we're looking at something that Peter wrote in the Bible, 1 Peter. Peter, you remember Peter? For 3 years, he had spent learning from Jesus. He saw Jesus heal all these people, raise people from the dead. Peter saw Jesus feed these large crowds with just a little bit of food. Peter walked with Jesus on water. Peter saw Jesus transfigured, saw his glory as God. That Peter, who then swore up and down three times, he didn't even know who Jesus was. That same Peter, who we heard in the other reading, that saw Jesus alive Easter evening, that same Peter then, who personally knew God's love, Jesus forgave him. That Peter, who shared that love and that resurrection 2-3 decades after Easter, Peter wrote a letter to Christians. Christians who are going through some very difficult times. Not difficult because of the world we live in, but difficult because they were Christian. Some of them were being arrested. Some tortured, even some killed for their faith. And so Peter writes to encourage them, to build them up, and it is so, so applicable to us today. So let's take a look at what Peter wrote. And this is printed for you in your worship folders. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from our ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So as you look at those words, and we start this sermon series, the living hope of Easter, we ask a question then, and it's there on the screen. How then shall we live? How then shall we live? Well, to answer that, I guess we look at values. Values are those things that we value, that we think are important, those things that guide our thoughts, that guide our actions. And I hope, obviously, what the world values and what God values are different. The world values, I guess very simply, we can say the world values happiness. You know, you hear people today talking about their rights. It's my right. That guides a lot of people in what they do, because they do what they think is going to make them happy. That leads them to this entitlement idea. Well, I'm entitled to my rights. I'm entitled to do what makes me happy. And if that means I go down the street really fast because that makes me happy, that's that. That also leads to the fame idea, which drives a lot of people. Because if there's ever a car accident, what do people do? Get out their phone to record it, right? Instead of going and help. They want to get the views. They want to get the likes. Fame can drive a lot of people. Social media, it gives us that opportunity to say anything we want without really even thinking about how our words affect other people. I guess you could say this world is driven by a very me-centric idea. Whatever makes you happy. That is what the world values. So what about us? Let me ask it this way. What do people see in us? You know, Christianity has gotten somewhat of a bad reputation with some people. And some of it is not deserved at all. But others of it, I've seen a lot of examples where Christians worry or care more about winning the argument than winning the person. Where that idea that it's true, means that you say things that are just absolutely hurtful and harmful. We've all seen people who say they're Christian get caught up in some scandal, some public sin, and we wonder, how can they be call themselves a Christian? Here's the thing. People can say the same things about us sometimes. Because it is so easy to get caught up and be part of this world instead of just in it. Peter said this, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Maybe this picture illustrates it, and there's any number of versions of this type of picture. Most of the fish are going one way, and just a few going the other way. You all know how easy it absolutely is to go with the flow, to be one of those fish going with the rest. Doesn't matter how old you are. You know how easy it is. You know how easy it is at school to just join in teasing the one kid that everyone else is teasing. You know how easy it is to just take it easy at work because everyone else is. You know how easy it is to give in to the mentality of this world in regard to sexuality. You know how easy it is to judge motives and thoughts like the radio host. You know how easy it is to go with the flow. But the values of this world, what this world values, is not what God values. This world values happiness. God, he values holiness. This is what Peter said. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I want to point out one thing here. It says you were redeemed. That means you didn't do it to yourself. You didn't redeem yourself. This is something that happened to you. You were redeemed. And what you were redeemed with was not gold or silver or something like that. Something far more precious, the blood of Christ. And just to illustrate that, do you know how much money there is, physical money, there is in the world today? According to one website I found, it said $48.9 trillion in physical money. And if you include all the digital things you have in the bank, stocks, bonds, all of that, one other website said it's up to $1 quadrillion. Can you imagine all the things you could buy with that kind of money? And even with all that money, you still cannot pay for one sin. That takes something even more precious. The holy, precious blood of Jesus. It's holy and precious because Jesus is holy and precious. Jesus did not go with the crowd, did he? He was different. He went against the flow, and he lived that perfect life none of us could. And he gave that perfect life as that sacrifice on the cross to pay for all our sins. All those times when we go with the flow. You see, God values our holiness, our salvation, our forgiveness. So, be holy. That's what Peter said. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, what does holy mean? I guess a good way to describe holy is it's being separate. It's being different, like the fish going against the flow. It's being different from this world, being in this world, I guess you could say, but not being of the world. Peter talked about us being strangers in this world, that really our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. So the world, it values happiness. God values our holiness. So what about you? What do you value? Well, there's a lot of things that God wants us to value, but I'm going to suggest four things today. First thing, we take God's word seriously. Do you know how the Bible ends? Very last page of the Bible, one of the very last verses of the Bible, it says this in Revelation. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. You see what it's saying? Take God's word seriously. If you add anything to the Bible, if you say that, you change it so you make it that the Bible is saying something it isn't. Says God's going to add something bad to you. Plagues described in the Bible. If you take away from the Bible, if you say, well, really the Bible doesn't mean what it says here. It says God's going to take away something good from you, eternally good. See what it's saying? Take God's word seriously. So, God says, keep the marriage bed pure. Take God's word seriously. Children, God's word says, honor your father and mother. Take God's word seriously. Parents, tells you to raise up your children, train them up in the instruction of the Lord. Take God's word seriously. When it says to love each other as God has loved you, take God's word seriously. That's one thing to value. Another thing, more joy than guilt. The Bible says in 1 John, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in the world. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. More joy than guilt. We love because God first loved us, because he gave his son for us. And so no more joy than guilt. Sometimes we do feel guilt over our decisions, over things we've done. But God wants it to end in joy. That's why he gave Jesus the guiltless in place of the guilty. He gave Jesus for us to have that forgiveness, that joy. So more joy than guilt. Another thing to value, we support each other like family. Also in 1 John it says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So treat each other as family. Here's the reality. We're all family here. Some family by blood, all family by Jesus' blood. Your brothers and sisters in God's family. Not every family is perfect, right? But support each other like family. Be there for each other. So if you know someone is hurting, going through a rough time, talk to them. Text them throughout the week. Send a Bible passage to encourage them. Pray for them. And talk to each other as family, not behind each other. But support each other as family. And then finally, we seek to become more like Jesus. The Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So what was his mindset? Well, he gave up heaven and came here for us. In other words, he thought of others first. So have the same mindset. Think of others first. Husbands, think of your wives first. Wives, think of your husbands first. Think of your neighbor when you're doing some loud yard work. Think of your coworker who's going through a really difficult time. Think of that single mom at the grocery store who's just trying to survive. Think of others first. Be more like Jesus. Now, those are four things that we can value, and there's a lot of other things too, but I want to say this. Value them not just with words. I mean, we can say that these are important to us, but that's not what God wants. He wants us to show it. Remember the fish? Being holy means being different. And that is seen. That can be seen. And that's exactly what the very early Christian church was actually known for. So in the 300s AD, there was a Roman emperor, Julian, who hated Christians. But we have this letter he wrote 1700 years ago. He wrote it to a pagan priest. And remember, he hates Christians. And yet, he actually had to admit what Christians were doing was good. This is what he wrote. He says, when it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the pagan priests, then I think the impious Galileans, what he calls Christians, observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy. They support not only their poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us. Do you see what the emperor said? A guy who hated Christians. He had to admit that Christians were taking care of not only their needy and poor, but everyone's. That was the reputation they had. That was how different they were. Wouldn't it be amazing if that's what we were known for? If we were known as Christians, not as people who put up a sign, but who showed the love of Christ. God valued our salvation so much. He redeemed us. He forgave us by the blood, the precious blood of his son Jesus. So, don't value what this world values. Instead, be different. Go against the flow. And value what God values. That is how we now should live. Amen.